2020 has featured a deadly global pandemic and a tense, litigious election. The election is done and the emergence of a vaccine has many people feeling hopeful. One major thing this year that does not have a conclusion in sight is the nationwide reckoning over institutional racism. Keystone Crossroads' Katie Meyer spoke with historians and grassroots organizers about the year of Black Lives Matter.
In early June, in the days after George Floyd was killed in Minneapolis at the hands of police, it was hot in Philly, and the whole city felt tense. Black Lives Matter protests had been going on for days. Police tear gassed a crowd that had marched onto a highway. The city was under pressure to act, and on June 3rd, they made a symbolic gesture. They took down a statue of former police commissioner and tough on crime mayor Frank Rizzo.
It was huge, and also because that also wasn't new either. You know, the effort to remove the statue is almost as old as the effort to arrest it. I think it says something about the dedication of the activists.
Timothy Lombardo is a historian of conservative politics who grew up in Philly and is now a professor at the University of South Alabama. For him, the 2,000-pound bronze Rizzo statue being winched away by a crane was meaningful. The city had been pushed to formally reject a populist mayor who opposed school integration and public housing and called himself the toughest cop in America. Left undone, though, is the radical reorganization of policing and reparations for African Americans that many activists have been pushing for. Historian Mary Frances Berry says protests need to return to the intensity of the summer for that to happen.
The election came and the campaign for the presidency. And what it did was to disrupt and to diminish the protests.
Berry is 82, a lawyer who teaches at the University of Pennsylvania and has been involved in civil rights activism for many decades. She's seen a lot of protests, and she says the thing that makes them successful isn't activists being subsumed into politics. It's sustained disruption. She says advocates shouldn't think they can sit on the sidelines just because Joe Biden won.
I don't think he's going to do anything major. He's going to do just, you know, keep the ship. You can tell from the people he appointed. The people who are in his inner circle are people that all of us who have worked in Washington have known for years. And they are steady, good people who haven't had a new idea in the last, you know, 30 or 40 years.
Berry's still somewhat optimistic about some of the big changes the movement's fighting for. And she says she's seen the best action on the local level. That's where Kareem Williams has been working.
I'm from a very, very, very small rural area of Pennsylvania, central Pennsylvania. The town I'm specifically from is Milton.
The borough of Milton, population less than 7,000, is almost 90% white. Williams says he was used to being one of the only kids who wasn't white in his high school classes. He's 24 now, and soon after George Floyd was killed, he helped found the group If Not Us, Then Who? Hundreds of people came to the early protests. These days, with winter setting in, it's harder. And there are things that still make him nervous. White supremacists are a big one.
A lot where I live, do I see the stickers that represent 3%ers, Proud Boys, things like that. There is still things that I know they're not going to go away. I know that this year is not going to make them go away. I know that Joe Biden's presidency is not going to make certain things go away.
Williams tries not to pay too much attention to national politics. Change, he said, is going to come from the local level. Not long ago, he got an audience with the mayor for the first time. And he's got clear goals. He's trying to push the city to bring social workers into the police department. And he hopes for progress there in 2021. Katie Meyer, WHYY News.